You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Craig Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John, thanks as always for your time.
Thanks for having me. It's a rainy day today, but Radio America brings a lot of sunshine into my life.
Well, glad to provide that for you, John. And obviously, the election's been the big story over the past several weeks, but the economy once again returning front and center, and not necessarily in a good way. This week, we're hearing a lot of talk about a possible second economic stimulus package. And we also heard from the Treasury Secretary on Wednesday, Henry Paulson, saying basically the $700 billion that Congress passed several weeks ago is not exactly being applied to the areas that the administration said it would. First of all, what's the significance of that?
Well, the very significance of it is that so many people in the United States believed, as Secretary Paulson said, that it was going to bail out some troubled industries and help homeowners get through this current financial crunch. It hasn't been used that way, and now it's basically a case of back to the drawing board. This will not take an act of Congress, only some new actions by the Secretary of the Treasury, who now has more power than any of his predecessors put together, and going back to Alexander Hamilton, the first Secretary of the Treasury. I'd say overall, the impact on the market is unclear. We'll know soon enough. But the impact on the public is, what do we believe next on this crisis? I have to say that I think Secretary Paulson acted in a sense of intellectual honesty, that things weren't working out. With all of the bailouts there, something had to go wrong. I'd say it also has to really make Americans wonder what's going to happen next.
Well, one of the things that Barack Obama wants to happen next as president-elect is a second economic stimulus package, part of which it seems as though most Democrats want to include a bailout for the auto industry, as well as other incentives designed to stabilize the economy a little bit. First of all, do you believe it'll happen during the lame duck session, or will it happen after Obama's sworn in next year?
More likely than not, after Obama is sworn in. All the signs I've received from the White House are that President Bush would veto such a package on his way out, although he reportedly was willing to compromise if the president-elect would support some of the free trade agreements that died in the last session of Congress, particularly those with South Korea and Colombia. That is unlikely to happen at this point. I'd have to say that with the pressure from congressional Democrats, more than likely some package will be passed that includes a bailout somewhere in the neighborhood of $25 billion that will cover workers at GM, Ford, and Chrysler Daimler, all of which have been racked on the market and in the world economy right now. It probably will happen later rather than sooner and will be signed into law by Barack Obama, as he has long indicated.
We're talking with John Gizzi of Human Events. And John, exactly what the complexion of the new Congress looks like, still in doubt. We've already said before that Saxby Chambliss of Georgia barely missed clinching a second term. He was on the program earlier in the week and said 9,000 more votes, or even less than that, would have been enough to get him to that 50% plus one. We know that a recount is set to begin in a number of days in Minnesota, and now the votes are continuing to trickle in Alaska. Right now, the latest count has incumbent Senator Ted Stevens down by about 814 votes, but there's still tens of thousands left to count. What do you make of the overtime sessions we're seeing here?
Well, I'll try to sum it up for you. In Georgia, it's a case of Saxby Chambliss, much like the bailout for the auto industry, coming later rather than sooner. Without Libertarian candidate Alan Buckley, he probably would have won. I've talked to supporters of Mr. Buckley's who are now going to barbecues for Saxby Chambliss. And while many of his supporters will work for the Democrat, Jim Martin, President-elect Obama, won't put his prestige on the line in a race that if Democrats were going to win, they would have won with the big turnout in November. As for Minnesota, they have a history going back to 1962 of some long counts. That year, they didn't decide a governor until a few days before Christmas. This year, Senator Norm Coleman is clinging to a 206-vote lead over Al Franken, the comedian. That lead was about 700 election night. And this recount, I might add, has to go on all by hand. That's a lot of hands needed to count 2.9 million ballots. As for Alaska, Ted Stevens led by 3,500 votes on election night, and now half of the estimated 91,000 absentee votes are there. And as you say, it has given a slight lead now to the Democrat, Mark Begich. I say wait till the last igloo turns in its votes, and then I'll comment.
Well, they're saying that those votes still could be counted over the next week, so we may not have a winner in Alaska until close to Thanksgiving, if by then. John, when the new Congress does assemble, it could have a new complexion in terms of the leadership, but in addition to the fact that the Democrats will have larger majorities. What can you tell us about some of the faces we'll be seeing before the TV cameras in 2009?
Well, the strongest leaders in the House and the Senate are going to keep their job. There's no question that in the Senate, Harry Reid of Nevada will be the Democratic leader, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the Republican leader. In the House, that's where the action is. Some key committee chairmen are being challenged right now, notably John Dingell, the longest-serving House member in history and chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Speaker Pelosi remains in her position, as do most of the other leaders in the Democratic hierarchy in the House. Interestingly, so many people thought John Boehner, the Republican leader, was doomed after his party lost about 22 seats unofficially in the House. Now it looks like he's going to have only minimal opposition for another term. The changes that will come in the number three position in the House Republican leadership, Mike Pence of Indiana, favorite of conservatives, should move up to succeed the retiring Rep. Adam Putnam, and a challenge by Pete Sessions of Texas, son of the former FBI director, to Tom Cole, chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee. I say Sessions wins it in a walk.
And there is a change in the whip as well with Roy Blunt stepping down, and it's Eric Cantor, is that right, that's stepping up?
Eric Cantor, chief deputy whip, moves up a notch and becomes the number two Republican in their hierarchy. I might add, Eric Cantor is the only Jewish Republican in the House of Representatives.
John, thanks so much for your time, as always.
Never boring, as I ready for the economic summit, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. This is Dateline Washington.